at this time of year, it is very, very hard to avoid the fact that Christmas, Xmas, whatever you want to call it, that this festival that people celebrate is near. It's very, very hard, if not impossible, to avoid the fact. Be it the endless seasonal songs played on the radio or in the shops, or the commercials for presents that you cannot afford, tempting to live beyond your means, or the food which speaks of the gluttony and the greed. Anyone with an up-to-date calendar cannot fail to know which day of the week is December 25th. Children can't wait for the day to arrive, although it never arrives a day later or a day sooner. It doesn't come a day earlier or later, but on the right time always. But you know, there are two groups of people we see with regards to this season, in terms of their attitude to it. Two groups of people. Some embrace it, while others can't wait for it to be over, even acting as if nothing was happening around them, shutting themselves off from it. The greatest example of this is those who take themselves off for a cheap package holiday to get out of all the madness for a couple of weeks. We're reading God's word in Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. But when the fullness of the time was come, not even when the fullness of time, but when the fullness of the time was come. We read a little earlier in Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass. I made this point in a previous sermon a couple of years ago, and I'll make it again. Caesar Augustus's decree was just a mere footnote in what was happening. The it that came to pass was not the command that all the world should be, all the Roman world should be taxed. The it was that she brought forth her firstborn son. She called him Jesus. Everything throughout human history, which is in fact God's history, it's not human history at all. Everything throughout history was pointing to and hastening on the certain time, the fullness of the time, the time of the coming into the world of the Saviour, Jesus Christ the Lord, not just a Saviour. There are many who masquerade as a Saviour today in religions today. There are many a Jesus today. There were many a Jesus in the time of the Lord as well, but they were not the Lord. They cannot save these saviours that are proclaimed today. They are helpless to save. But he we read of here, his arrival was indeed great good news, great glad tidings, because he was not only a saviour, he was Christ, God's chosen one. He indeed was God. God manifest in the flesh. Plans were made down to the minutest detail for the arrival of that day, that all things were made ready. There are people today who exasperate their friends and family because they've got to have everything laid out to the minutest detail at this time of year. They have to have everything as they want it. It has to be all laid out. It has to be all just so. But even more so, everything was taken care of for the redemption of God's people. Everything was now set. This one who entered the world that he created in the likeness of created man was made in the likeness of men. This one speaks in the word of God himself directly to confirm that all scripture is foretelling of his certain impending arrival, which was very soon. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Quite literally, the Lord Jesus, he whose goings forth is of old, even from everlasting. He who has no beginning nor end, who is the same yesterday, today and forever. He speaks here through the psalmist, and he quite literally is saying, I come, lo, I come. I come, I will come, I am coming, I certainly come. In the volume, in the entirety, this is what he is saying, in the entirety of the scroll, in the entirety of the word of God, the scriptures as they were at that time, the Old Testament, in the entirety of this book, it is written of me. Yet as we see at his birth, many were caught out, not expecting nor wanting him. Yes, you probably would neither expecting nor wanting him, because they read this word with the eyes of flesh. They read this word with the eyes of religious wisdom. They read this word without the Spirit of God. You see, those who have not the Spirit of Christ receive not the things of Christ. They reject the teachings of Christ. Yes, they'll have Christ. Yes, they'll have something of Jesus that they want. But they will not have Christ himself. They will not have his teaching, because it is anathema to them. It is something that is totally against them. They cannot have him rule. And so the people were not wanting him. And now you see, all as bad as this was, the world was in darkness. Yet God comes in his graciousness. For you see, the greatest of gifts, the best ideas for gifts are those that you would never have thought of. When you receive the greatest of gifts from somebody, you think, where did you get that from? That's amazing. I just wouldn't have thought of that. And yet, when you see that gift, yes, you probably would never think you needed it until someone gives it to you. And it's the gift you get so much use for. And so too the gift of God. There is none that seeks after God, the Word of God tells us. There is none that seeks after this gift. But God Almighty is not moved from performing all His good pleasure, from working out His eternal purposes in His Son. Throughout the scriptures of the Old Testament, He promises a special day is coming. The day of love, the day of redemption from sin's power and domain. It is the day when God would in His Son, but now once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Although many prophecies were given through God's servants, which had a physical application and fulfillment, and all was fulfilled by the time Christ came. And I emphasize, all was fulfilled by the time Christ came. Someone wants to tell you about prophecy. Quote to them the scriptures that they speak of me. They speak of me. Take them to the road to Emmaus and tell them, starting with Moses and the prophets and in all the scriptures, the things pertaining to himself. I have prophecy fulfilled here already. I have Jesus. They had their physical application for a time and their fulfillment. But nonetheless, all of it, all prophecy, all scripture, all the Psalms, all the historical books, all the law, all of it was superseded by the spiritual, the promises of Christ to come. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. Every single page. Now people will say, well, I can't see Jesus there. That's because they don't know Jesus. You can't see someone you don't recognize. But when you look with the eyes of faith, you see the Lord Jesus on every page. Show me Jesus in all the scriptures. Show me this Saviour. This could not be better put. This fact could not be better put than in the prophet Habakkuk and in the second chapter in the third verse. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And so in our text today, let's briefly see two things that speak of this certainty, of this fulfillment, of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Firstly, the set time. The set time. You know, people are never late for anything if they set the time. If they set the time. If they know the time. Can't miss anything if you know when it's going to take place. But more importantly, those who set the time themselves, those who are in control of everything that is taking place, they make sure that everything is set. That it cannot fail. And secondly, we see the gift that is given at this time. Christmas Day for people is a set time in their calendar. Sadly, almost makes you feel sick to the stomach. It is the most kept day of the whole year. The most respected day of the whole year. Almost as if it's some kind of holy day. of which it is not. No shops open, no one shopping, no cars on the road. You could walk down the whole high street without being run over. For it is the keeping of idolatry, you see, and man worships himself. But on that day, it is a set day. People know when it is. Even those who've never kept this day, when they're from other countries and they've never kept this day, suddenly they join in, they keep it. They keep it. And secondly, at this time of year, people give gifts. And we see in our text here, a gift is given. So firstly, we saw in the Old Testament just now, in Habakkuk 2, the day of the Lord's coming was an appointed time. It had its day, and no other day would do. At this time of year, we struggle to see different people, and we have all the hassle of people fighting over our time, and we keep days at different times. We sometimes say, we'll do it this day, we'll do it that day, which is fine. But not so here with the coming of the Saviour. No other day would do. No other time would do. It was an appointed time. It must be now. It was set. It was decided. It was agreed in the councils of the Almighty. There was a certain day set for the Son of God to be revealed, to come into the world to save sinners. No other day would do. And believe it or not, God had even given the exact day in His word through the mysterious vision of 70 weeks shown to Daniel. This mysterious vision that at the end of it, quite wisely, the angel says, let he who reads this understand. The same words that the Lord Jesus uses when he quotes from the prophet Daniel. He says those same words, let he who reads understand. Be not like those fools, those religious fools who seek some coming prophecy of some new Jerusalem on earth, of some kingdom on earth, because of Daniel and the 70 weeks that have already come to pass. No, this all has come to pass. And so why were most people not expectant of this day if God had spelled it out? Why were people not expectant of this day, of the arrival of this Saviour? It's the same reason why people are not expectant today. God has spelled all things out. They are without excuse, the Word of God says. But why? Why were people not expecting this day to come? After all, the religious Jewish scholars had these promises of the coming Saviour in the scriptures. The scriptures that they wrote continuously out. They wrote continuously out. They kept on their foreheads. They knew this word inside out. I don't know this word the way they knew it. And there are people, sad Orthodox Jews in Stamford Hill, Golders Green, wherever around this city, who know this word inside out, this Old Testament word. But they don't know it. The same as today. There are people in churches, so called, who sit Sunday after Sunday, and they could even sit there as the preacher says the words, they repeat the words as he sang them, because they learnt them as a memory verse as a child. But that word has not entered the heart. It means nothing. It's just words. They had these promises. They were even able to tell King Herod when the wise men came, these mysterious visitors came in Matthew 2. When the wise men came, what were they able to tell Herod? Where Messiah, where Christ must be born. Not where they think, where he must be born. They know the place. They knew the place. And they knew the time as well. So why was this news given by the wise men of his star appearing, saying that he certainly has come? Why was this not moving them to seek for him? Why is it that we read in John 1, he came to his own and his own received him not? Why is this? Because they were his own in name only. They were of the Jews outwardly, physically. The apostle Paul in Romans 10 tells us, a Jew is not a Jew outwardly, but inwardly. By the circumcision of the heart, by the work of the Spirit of God within. But they were not of those who he gave the right to become children of God, who believed on his name. You see, because they were unable to receive the truth of the coming of Jesus, the fullness of the time coming meant nothing to them. Just as today there are many who do not greet the coming of Christmas Day in the secular sense. They're known as bar humbug or whatever, not being a damp squid. They don't like the day, and it's their prerogative. And I don't blame them in many ways. But even so, today there are many who are Christian in name only. They believe in God. They've been taught to say their prayers, holding a form of godliness, but rejecting its power therein. They do not receive Christ truly, just having a belief. Dear friends, I must ask you, is this you? Do you just have a belief? It is not enough to say, I believe. Even the demons believe and tremble, says the word of God. What have we to do with you, thou Son of God? The demon says, they knew. Secondly, the gift that is given in the fullness of the time. The gift given. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son. God always purposed to send forth his Son. He is the Lamb of God who is slain from the foundation of the world. He is not some second thought, some afterthought after the fall of man into sin. Oh no. This is not God. God sends forth his Son from eternity. And yet in time he comes now, in the fullness of the time, in the hour that God had purposed. But to do what? What was the purpose of the time? It heralded the giving of a gift from Almighty God. Imagine Christmas Day or your birthday, and you're told it's coming, the day's coming, get all excited about this day, and then you've heard that this day people get gifts, and that day comes and there's nothing. What's the point of the day? That's what people would say. That's what kids would say, wouldn't they? What is the point? You've told me that's what Christmas Day was about. I'm going to get a gift and nothing. It's just December the 25th, which it is. But it's just December the 25th and I've received nothing. The fullness of the time coming, that this Son of God came, born of a woman, was heralding quite loudly, as those angels heralded this good news, this great news, these glad tidings of great joy, the giving of the gift from Almighty God. For he only gives one gift, by the way. I'm very much of the school of thought that people should get one gift at Christmas, because we would always, always remember it. Kids are spoilt today and they got so many gifts and they forget in 2 seconds flat, because everyone else is giving them. It's not their fault, they're given so many gifts they forget what they were given, and they have to be reminded to write a letter out to so and so and so and so as to what they gave. You won't forget. If you get one present in your birthday, one present at Christmas, you will not forget it, will you? It's the gift. God only gave one gift. People will say today, there's loads of people say, oh, I've got this gift from God and I've got that gift from God. No, the only gift is Christ Jesus. The only gift is Christ. Once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin. What was that gift? We see in verse 5 in our text, to redeem them that were under the law. God sent his Son at the appointed time, the set time, the right time, when the fullness of the time was come. He set this time. He set it for the giving of a gift, the gift, to his people. The Bible says of this gift, which is opposite to that which the law of God shows us deserving. Note here, it says, to redeem them that were under the law that condemns, the law that declares guilty before God. But the Bible says of this gift, amazingly, which is opposite to that which the law of God shows us deserving. For the wages of sin is death. That's the deserved wage. Rightly so, in the sight of God. But the gift of God, but, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I think we sung the other night, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Now, those of you who may have sung that, did you mean that? I'll tell you what, I mean that. I'd rather have Jesus than an iPod, an iPad, an I this, an I that, a flashy suit. Have you seen my suit? Have a look inside my suit. The pockets are ripped. I don't care. I'd rather have Jesus the greatest gift. So great is this gift that God gives in His Son, so undeserved, so without compare, such grace that gives it. It is referred to as this: thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. The apostle was not able, even under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to give words to describe. For it also can be translated, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Yet people think they know everything about Jesus. They don't need to learn any more about Jesus. When the apostle says, to know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings, to know more of Him, to know more of Him, to know more of Jesus, and then some more. What a gift. Who would have thought of such a gift as this? Who would have thought of such a gift as this? Quite unique. No one, I tell you. No one. For nobody wanted it. Nobody sought after it. I said earlier on, the unique gift that someone might give somebody, and you think, how did you think of that? Where did you find that? They are always the best gifts, you see. They're always the best gifts. So to conclude, earlier I said, the best gifts are those that you never thought of. You could never think of it. You just couldn't think of it. And so with eternal life through Christ Jesus the Lord, if you have come to receive this gift through repentance and faith in the Saviour alone, who came at the right time to do this, as Daniel 70 weeks says, which is why it cannot be some time to come in that little strip of land called Israel today. It has taken place already. Who came at the right time to make an end of transgression by the cutting off of Himself. The Lord shall be cut off for His people. On that cross of Calvary, He made an end to all transgression. That's how this gift came. Not wrapped up in some flashy religious wrapping paper. Not wrapped up in some flashy wrapping paper of ritual or self-will religion. But hanging naked on the tree, bearing the iniquity of His people. See the gift. You did not seek it. You were not looking for Jesus. You did not find God. God has never been lost. He found you. He found you and came to you and presented the gift of salvation to you. Salvation is of the Lord. Secondly, the gift of eternal life comes not because you had it on your list of things you wanted. It was not on your list of gifts. It is not in the Argos catalogue. Or whatever catalogue you tick off your gifts you want. Nobody wants this gift. The flesh does not want this gift. It was not on the list of things you want. No, you received the gift of God because you were on His list of those He chose to give it to. For there are two types of lists at this time of year. Those who are saying they want this and they want the other, and are those who are the cheerful givers who lovingly make out a list who they really want to give a gift to. When the fullness of the time comes, You see, he brings the knowledge of redemption and salvation to the objects of his grace even now. But it has to be a specific time. The right time. God's time. The Bible puts it this way. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. No other day. No other time. There is a set time of salvation. It's not a haphazard time to just offer it out that anyone might hear. It is a specific time when the power of Almighty God comes by His Spirit and He breathes new life and they are born again of His Spirit and given faith to believe on this gift. Has the fullness of the time come for you to receive the gift? To receive the greatest gift ever given? Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Has that time come to you? Is it now? It's an accepted time, you see. It's not the preacher's time. The preacher has no right to tell you to do anything other than the command of God, that God commands all men everywhere to repent, believe on the Son of God and you will be saved. Can't badger or pigeonhole anyone to do anything, for have no power to anyway. And finally, God has revealed His salvation through His Son. As today is the day of grace. We said earlier on, people are without excuse. God has laid it out clearly. People know. Even from creation itself, the works of God, His Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Word of God tells us. God says. How will the people know? God has said. God has spoken. No one can say they do not know. This day is the day of grace. It is the day of the gift. But unlike any other day, we have not got a clue how many hours there are in it. We have no clue. We have no clue. We have been living in one long day. We have been living in one long day from the time that the Saviour came into this world at the end of the ages. It is the last time. It is the last time. But He has come. But we know not how long this day is. But we do know, like all days though, it will have an end. But there is one more day that we know not when it is. We have just been told to be prepared for it. It is the day that when the fullness of the time is come, and it is coming, God shall judge the living and the dead. It could be now. It could be today or tomorrow. I know not. But don't be like the last minute shoppers who don't get the gift in time because the doors are closed. He will get up and He will close the door, He says. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen.